Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. We thank you for listening to AFR. As always, we want to show our appreciation to you. We know you have many choices out there as far as media, or you could just turn the radio off and have silence in your car, which is a good thing sometimes, actually. But we appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's back in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Made a whirlwind trip down to Dallas. Mm-hmm. Flew down Sunday and spoke at the pastor's conference yesterday and flew back last night. And my voice feels like it's somewhere. It's flying over Oklahoma right now, but we're doing good.
Now, you spoke at the well, let me introduce the other panelist here, Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here on the show.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Here.
Fred's day job is news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Walker's day job is to tell us what we're doing on Facebook and YouTube. What are we doing? If folks want to follow the show, what can they do, Walker?
Yes. First off, I did get a college degree.
Yes, you did.
So I know how to do more
and
than
boy,
Facebook.
Boy, do I know that.
And
made that off for you, son.
But amongst my
just saying.
Capabilities includes social media. So we are on Facebook and YouTube, so you can watch the show both of those places. Also, you can visit our website, afr.net. And if you want to read the news stories that we talk about, you want to read more into the information we discuss here, then all those articles that we discuss will be posted on our Facebook page.
I sensed a little sensitivity there.
Yeah. Well, we're done paying for it, but me and his mama.
But Dad hasn't forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody, you know, I'm just kidding. His mom, Allison, and I, proud to put Walker through. And Walker did.
3 years.
3 years. He got through in 3 years on a four-year program.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Hey.
That was after a C-plus average in high school. So
that's it. Hey, whatever gets you through, huh?
Walker did. You know, Walker was one of these guys. Walker, you just sort of walked through high school. And, and when you got to college, man.
College
you
was tough.
Yeah, you turned the gas on, though, and got through in 3 years. And
yeah.
So wow. Anyway.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. So mm-hmm. I got to give it to him. By the way, before we get into the news, there's some big news happening around the world. You guys probably didn't stay up like I did and watch the Florida versus Auburn college baseball game last night, did you?
You are correct. I did not stay up.
Okay, because your hockey season's over, so Fred's...
That's I watched right. some of it, didn't okay. finish it.
You didn't watch it, did you, Ray?
I did not.
Okay. Well, anyway...
Yeah, so tell us.
Well, what happened was... It was a trip to the College World Series at stake. It was the third game of a three-game series. Florida won the first one. Auburn won the second one. Mm-hmm. And they're playing the third game. Mm-hmm. And it's 2-2 in the 11th inning. And it's the bottom of the 11th. And it's 2-2. I mean, nerves just for everybody, just frayed. And but anyway, the Florida batter gets up in the bottom of the 11th and hits one all the way to the right field fence. And the right fielder for Auburn sticks his glove up, and the ball hits in the glove and bounces off.
Oh, no.
And, yes, oh, yes.
No,
and
no.
Goes, and
oh, go, no.
Oh, yes, and goes over the wall.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those, did that just happen? Now, I don't know if it went actually in the glove or hit the top of the glove. But it was a play where the guy should have caught the ball.
Sure.
He should have caught the ball, the player. And it was a tough play, but he should have caught the ball. But it looked like it's one of those things where you're in real time, you're going, that guy is a human being, and he has parents and family and teammates. And the fact that he didn't catch the ball, and the ball bounces over the wall – like God is a Florida fan. even though I know.
So do they call it? Was it called a home run then?
Yeah, it was a home run. It was a home run, and
wow.
the Auburn guy just looks up like, did that just happen to me? I lost the game for my teammates based on I didn't know if anybody else saw that. I felt so sorry for the Auburn player, and his teammates were good about it. You know, they were consoling him, everything like that. But I'm thinking, you talk about how long that's going to take to quit having nightmares about.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such is the drama of sports, but baseball in particular, because baseball's, you got 30, 45 seconds between pitches, and it's sort of a thinking man's game, and it's high drama, high stakes. It was just like, okay, there goes the ball. Oh, he's caught. Oh, no. The ball bounces off his glove and goes over the fence, and the game's over.
I've never seen that.
I hadn't either. I had not either.
Never.
Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues. We got Dr. Frank Turek coming up at quarter after the hour, and then Sandy Rios the next hour. What's going on, Fred?
Well, Ray mentioned he was at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about that.
Okay.
But just a quick update. This morning, they have been dealing with resolutions. And one of the resolutions that came to the floor this morning, our own Janet Medford's there, from a host of our noon show here. She tweeted out, there was a motion made to withdraw the invitation to Vice President Pence, who's supposed to speak at the convention tomorrow there in Dallas. And apparently the person who tried to put this motion on the floor thought that having the vice president there, Vice President Pence, would offend some minorities.
Now, I'm unclear. Was it actually put to a motion?
It was proposed, but the motion failed. Yes, the motion failed.
When a motion failed, does that mean it never comes to the floor?
It was defeated.
Okay.
So they actually did vote on it, is what you're saying.
This is what I'm getting. Janet Medford says she's tweeting this out. But the fact that there would be a motion even considered to de-invite Vice President Pence because his presence...
Well, what if it's one wacko, though?
Can
one wacko put up a...
Now let me ask this. This is a Ray and Fred question.
Can a wacko be a Southern Baptist? I don't know.
It has been known to happen on occasion.
Are general attendees allowed to bring up motions or just messengers?
Messengers.
Okay, so it's a representative.
Yeah, just messengers.
A chosen representative from
that
a Southern Baptist church.
That is correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying. Sometimes I don't want to put that whole thing on the Southern Baptist convention, this idea, because it was turned down.
Yeah, I read a little bit more about it just before coming in the studio. It was apparently put forward by a pastor from Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah.
And he just felt that there were some minorities there in the convention might be offended.
What's Mike Pence ever done to offend minorities?
Well, I don't know whether it's an association with President Trump, and you know President Trump and people like Russell Moore of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission do not have a strong relationship.
Yeah, but...
It's
strange. Well, part of this deal is that they didn't announce until yesterday afternoon that Pence was coming. So most people didn't know about it. In fact, at the beginning of the day yesterday, didn't hear a word about it. And then as I was coming into the convention center, security went from 0 to 150 because the Secret Service was descending, because they do a lot to protect the president and the vice president. And as word spread, people were stunned. And there were more than a few people. I'm not surprised at anything you've just said, Fred, because there's more than a few people who thought this was bad mixing of politics and religion or whatever. But they do not express, those folks, I don't think they express the majority opinion inside the convention that if we can get the vice president to come speak to us, it's an honor to have him.
Yeah, Vice President Pence is a fellow evangelical Christian.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I would suggest that he'll be very welcomed by this by the convention, and he's got a lot to share in terms of the things that Southern Baptists stand for. Israel,
pro-life,
religious liberty,
security of our country. So I think the vice president will be given a warm greeting. But and maybe you don't tip off everybody for security reasons. You know what I'm saying? You don't. Maybe you don't want to say in advance, 4 weeks in advance, hey, we're going to be in downtown Dallas.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So you just make a 24-hour announcement. And I'm sure the Southern Baptist Convention leaders, whoever is responsible for making these kinds of decisions mm-hmm. to put on a convention, were informed. But anyway, you're listening to today's issue. We're going to talk more about the convention later on because it is a contentious one in many respects. So we'll talk about this a little bit later on. But you spoke to the what's called the pastors.
That's right.
Okay. So how many people were there?
There were. it's in the biggest venue, Tim, that I've ever been in. It's where they have when the Republican convention say comes to Dallas. It's this vast, vast, vast. I mean, the convention hall that you could put many football fields inside.
Oh my word!
So there were 8,000 chairs set up, and they told me they could put 15 or 20,000 chairs inside that big room.
Hello. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
What you just said.
Yeah.
They didn't prepare me for that. So when I got up to speak, I opened my mouth and the first words, whatever my friends said, hello, good to be here. It was hello, 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 hello. this slapback coming from all over.
Oh my word.
And it is sort of disconcerting because you can hear, and you're trying to get the next sentence out. They didn't warn me about that, so you got to kind of adjust on the fly.
Is it one of those speaking deals where people are walking around too?
Oh, it's like a state fair. They're coming in, they're going out, they got their coffee, whatever, you know. It's just people are standing around talking, and there were 4,000 or 5,000 people there,
I would guess.
When I spoke. But the front row, I was up on the platform, the front row of people was at least 15 yards away, maybe 20 yards away. So it's not, you had to look out and put your hands above your eyes just to barely see anybody out there. So it's not like any normal speaking.
I know. In my life, it's not like anything
I've ever done.
I've not spoke in what you're describing, which is that's for a public, for someone doing a public speaking engagement, that is. You want your audience listening to you, and you want engagement, and you want eye contact, and you want reaction. And I mean, that's otherwise you die up there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, as a speaker. And the people who were at the back of the auditorium listening to me, I could see little tiny figures way back there. they were at least 100 yards away from me.
Oh my
word! And my face was up on like these video boards, like two stories tall. So it's a surreal experience to be. It's nothing like speaking in any church that I've ever been in.
I know one time I was at an event in Jacksonville, Florida, and somebody had invited us down there to speak at an event that they put together. And it was at the downtown Jacksonville, like city auditorium or whatever like that. Kind of like what you're describing, maybe not quite that big. But anyway, so they were expecting a crowd of a few thousand people. Mm. Well, there was like 60 when I got there.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, it was me and Buddy Smith and it's like I just had fun with it. There was like the people were sitting like 20 rows back. There was nobody up front. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, y'all can come on down front because there's plenty of space available. Anyway, it was one of these deals where these people, they bless their heart, they planned it at the wrong time. They did not do it the right kind of promotion, and it flopped. But you're embarrassed for them. But I've also given a day of my time to come down here. So anyway, those things. And then I've had things go where you go, they were expecting 200 and 700 showed up. So that happens if you've been, what happened to Ray there, that happens if you speak for 20, 30 years, those kinds of things are going to happen. Well, Dr. Frank Turek is on with us, who I'm sure has standing room audiences only wherever he speaks, all over the country. He is with Cross Examined Ministries and joins us from Charlotte, North Carolina area. How you doing, Frank?
I'm speaking right now, and nobody's standing.
No standing room only.
Nope, just me in my office with you.
Oh, my word. How you doing, brother?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We've got a lot to talk about. Hey, what do you think about President Trump going over and meeting with Kim Jong-un?
You know, if Obama had done that, I'd go, this isn't right. I'm just being honest.
Because why?
Because he wouldn't hold him to account.
Okay.
But Trump going over there, for some reason, I think he's going to hold him to account. In fact, I don't know what was said in that 41-minute meeting, but I can guess. What do you think he said in that 41-minute private meeting?
Between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un?
Yeah.
You want to play one-on-one basketball?
Who gets Rodman? That's the question.
That's right.
Anyway, I go ahead. I think you asked me. I think probably President Trump did shoot straight with him and told him. I mean, why wouldn't he? And told him, listen, you know, you're going to have to take down your nukes, and we're going to have to verify that, and then we can talk about, you know, what we can do to help you. But that's the first order of business. And if you're not going to do that, there's no point in us going 42 minutes here.
Do you think the president apologized for calling him Rocket Man?
No.
No.
I don't think that was brought up.
President Trump apologizing.
Yeah. That's,
I think my instinct, though, with Frank is, and since y'all ask, no, I'm kidding. No, Frank.
Well, Frank did ask, but it was an open,
Frank,
generic
asking. I was thinking the same thing yesterday. You know, what would the response be? And I think the only difference here, and this is kind of what I gathered, is that President Trump was openly tough on North Korea for about 12 months there. Mm-hmm. Or a little less,
mm-hmm.
Threatening military action. He was actually getting military options ready on the table,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Toughest sanctions in history.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that toughness gave President Trump the standing with the American people that he's not capitulating to a foreign dictator.
Well, Trump said as much this morning. He said he said my rhetoric probably led to this meeting, mm-hmm. What he had to say back there. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I was going to say, no one ever prevented a war through weakness. And
right.
Obama demonstrated weakness around the world. Like, he was apologizing to everybody, whereas Trump goes, the reason this meeting took place is, I think what Walker just said is right, that Trump had been pretty direct and pretty almost belligerent with the guy and saying, look, you're going to need to change or you're going to have trouble. And I don't know what was said in that 41-minute meeting, but it might have been something like an ultimatum.
Yeah,
You're either going to do this or you're not going to be around very much longer.
Because
we've participated legally or illegally in regime change before, and I don't know. I'm speculating,
but I think that's
the kind of thing that may have been said.
I agree, and let me back up here. Ray, I'd like to get your thoughts on this too. Is we're talking about the summit that was held between Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, and President Donald Trump, and it's over now, isn't it, Fred?
President's on his way back to Washington.
Okay. So I don't know. It's going to be announced what was accomplished, but at this particular meeting, I'm sure they'll have further meetings. But let me remind everybody listening that this is a situation happening that's political. That is, these negotiations, this thing. They remind people that that this dictator guy, Kim Jong-un, was firing missiles out into the ocean and has nuke capabilities. This is a very serious, dangerous situation. And so President Trump, I'm sure, considered a military option because had Kim Jong-un launched a nuclear weapon and it hit Los Angeles, then everybody would be saying, why didn't you do something? You knew he had these, and you didn't do anything to stop him. Mm-hmm. This is the way the liberal media is. Now they're going, oh, you're provoking him to war. You see what I'm saying? You can't win with these people because they hate President Trump so much. It's Trump delusional syndrome, as they call it. But, Ray, what do you think about what Frank's question was, what might have been said at this summit between these two fellows?
Well, I'm sure Mr. Trump laid down the law to him. The real problem here is what Frank alluded to, is that who can trust the North Koreans? What have they ever done to make us
you
think
can't.
That we should
you
trust?
You can't unless you verify. Can. Unless you verify.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So I'm all for the summit. I'd a lot rather do talking than bombing, but I don't trust the North Koreans. Mr. Trump said afterwards that Kim Jong-un loves his people. I think that was just sort of diplomatic talk because he kills his people.
Yeah,
he's
right.
the most, it's the most brutal regime in the world, and I hope we hold a hard line against them and not get taken in. But that said, I'm glad they sat down and talked. That's a good first step.
That's one thing I didn't like is how I wish President Trump would have been a little bit more serious and not as much patting on the back, hugging, like he's meeting with a Hollywood star. It was very, very nonchalant to be talking to someone who kills his siblings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Right.
He's that's just Trump. That's what he does when he gets in,
right.
in your presence. I had a couple, before the election, had a couple of instances to be with him with a group of other people, and that's just the way he is, trying to, you know, cajole people, work the room, so to speak. I agree that the optics may have not been good, but then again, the optics of the thing are part of what Trump does. He knows how to brand things. He knows how to make, you know, get the visuals going and all that. So
when you're negotiating with somebody about something like bringing down nukes, okay, which is an issue of great national security interest for the United States, which this is our president representing our country and for the region, you know, you don't go in. I agree, Walker. You need a more serious, less jovial demeanor, but you don't also go in there and say, hey, you know, you clown.
Right.
You know, you don't go in there intentionally trying to make things worse by insulting somebody, even though he deserves to be insulted. I guess that's a...
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? But you don't go want to go overboard and call him something he isn't either, like saying he loves his people, like Ray said. No, he doesn't. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and what do you got coming up on your show this weekend, Frank, or do you know yet?
Something so timely that I don't even know yet. That's how on the cutting edge we are at cross-examining.
All right, what did you talk about last weekend then?
Last week, you did?
I can tell you what you talked about.
What did we talk about, Walker?
You talked about the Supreme Court decision regarding Jack Phillips.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Or at least in part.
Yeah, a little bit about that, and I talked a whole lot about that guy getting fired at CrossFit. I don't know if did you follow that story? Have you talked about it yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. In the name of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity, you're excluded for holding a diverse view.
Isn't that the truth? Well, why don't these people see the hypocrisy in that?
Because they don't care. It's not about hypocrisy. It's about power.
Okay.
So
you can't hold that is a dangerous situation. You can't hold a traditional Christian view that homosexuality is sinful and be seen as a person worthy of living in America any longer, according to these PC folks, right?
Unfortunately. But they're our enemies, and we're supposed to love them, right? We're supposed to love all people. The question is, how do you do that? Tell them the truth.
All right. Listen, Frank, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. God bless you guys.
Okay, you too.
See you.
Hey, you should be standing when I'm talking. You know that.
Dr. Frank.
Standing room only.
Standing room. A guy got it. Standing room only. Okay,
got it? All right, good.
Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K, from Cross Examined Ministries, joining us right there. Sandy Rios will be with us in a few minutes. Hey, say a prayer today for our president, because this is a very serious situation that we're in involving North Korea, and we would be great for the world if they would take down those nukes. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a minute.
on the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we only go to the Holy Land once a year, and that's in March. Last year, we filled up several months in advance. So if you want to go in March of 2019, it's time to look at the details. You can get a brochure from us at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your telephone number, or go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's going to be a wonderful time in Israel. We'll go to the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the Holy City of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Masada, the Dead Sea, and on the list goes. If you'd like to go with us in March of 2019, all the information is available at twholyland.com. Order a brochure by calling 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Ruth Benjamin of Marshall, Illinois, says the secret to a long life is bacon and potatoes. Now, before you turn off your radio, hear me out. Miss Benjamin knows what she's talking about. She just turned 109. Miss Benjamin tells WGN she eats potatoes every day, mashed, baked, French fried, you name it. She also loves bacon and sauerkraut. So did Susanna Jones. She lived to be 116. Miss Jones swore by bacon, four strips every morning along with grits and eggs. But there's a bit more to the story, according to the medical experts. Dr. Jim Turner says Miss Benjamin never drank, never smoked, had a wonderful marriage, loving family. The good doctor says happiness is the key to her longevity, not necessarily bacon. But if happiness leads to a long life and bacon makes you happy, well, I say enjoy a few extra slices. Just double up on the cholesterol meds. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to the radio program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. We're here for another hour. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, and we're all in the studio here in Tupelo, and in Kansas City is Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray joins us Tuesdays and Thursdays when he can. And you're off, got a trip coming up to the Bible camp in
Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah, week from Friday, heading up there.
What's that called again?
Cannon Beach Conference Center, right on the Pacific Ocean, Tim. Mm-hmm. I think AFR needs to have a conference. We need to have an Oregon Beach Conference.
What's the beach like in Oregon?
You know, the water is colder there than, say, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
But gorgeous. You know, you have these fantastic rock formations. The Haystack Rock is right there at Cannon Beach. So it's a rugged, beautiful piece of scenery, and then the beach itself as well. The stuff they make Hollywood movies about, let's put it that way. Just gorgeously beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
You would like it.
I have to visit there sometime. I've been to, I've never been to the beach there. I've been to Seattle and north there to visit some friends in the, between almost in the Canadian line there, Fred. Where would I have been?
Almost up to Vancouver.
Linden.
No, Bellingham.
Bellingham. My friend worked in Bellingham, and he lived in a town called Linden, L-I-N-D-E-N.
the Bible people.
Logos Bible.
Logos, Logos Bible. Yes. Yeah,
Scott Lindsay.
Yeah, based in Bellingham.
Yeah, and so we went to, took a boat ride to British Columbia.
Oh,
to Victoria?
Cool. Victoria, yeah, the capital.
Victoria, what a beautiful ride that was from over the Puget Sound. Is that my...
Going to be up there. I'm going to be up there in a few weeks.
Are you really? You know, for a guy from Mississippi, you know, living in the pine trees here, I came back. I came back, guys, and you know, Allison and I went up there to visit our friend. We drove from Seattle on the interstate north to where they were, and you start going through these trees and I don't know what I got back to home and I said, let me tell you something, people. We only think we know what trees are.
They grow them big.
We got mushrooms compared to these. These trees were like towering. What were they? They were 100 feet tall or better. I mean,
well, you probably get some 200 feet. Cedars up there. Yeah. A lot of hardwood.
Yeah,
hardwood in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I don't know what they were, but they were beautiful, gorgeous. Towering trees in the forest there,
and you would have seen Mount Baker on your right hand.
Yes, I did.
Mount Baker, 10,000 feet.
Yeah,
snow all year round.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Is you know, I really really enjoyed my visit to the Pacific Northwest, but haven't been to Oregon yet. Would sure like to go to Oregon. I have been to Baker City, which is in the western part. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, the eastern part.
Eastern.
Of Oregon, but I haven't been to the beach as Ray's going to the beach. Well, Sandy Rios is joining us. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning here on AFR. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
Could I say?
Thank you. And it's good to be, you know, I'm getting my health back one day at a time. It's slow.
Yeah.
For the kind of surgery I had, you're looking at a 1 to 2 month recovery period, so it's only been, what, two and a half weeks. But I'm still not doing sit-ups yet. But anyway.
But you anyway. Could. Oh, we could listen in while you do one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
There are sound effects.
I don't think I'm quite there yet. But anyway. Hey, Sandy, just your thoughts on the president's trip. I guess he's headed back home now.
Yeah, well, there's no question. I mean, what more can I say about it being historic? Mm-hmm. What other words can you use? I think it was kind of surreal to think that Kim Jong-un, of course, is the third in a series of the Kims, his father and his grandfather. They were all murderous dictators. What they have done to their people would rival, you know, Joseph Stalin. It's just, it's horrendous. And we know that Kim actually, you know, has had an uncle killed and other family members killed. It's brutal. And the gulags are brutal. So you see
You've been over there, right?
Not in the gulags, but certainly interviewed people who have been and been there. Yes, I was in North Korea on 9/11 and didn't even know about the World Trade Center and the plane crashes until 24 hours later when we came back in northern Manchuria. So I've been in their schools. I've seen firsthand what that country looks like and what the people did. The oppression is just amazing. But my point is not, you know, I think some are saying that President Trump should not appear with him on the same stage. I get that. But I do remember Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt appearing next to Joseph Stalin. You know, it's like they are world leaders, and not talking to them at all is only makes things worse. And I actually kind of speculate because Kim Jong-un is such a, I don't know how to describe him. He's a character from another world, from another planet. And North Korea is like another planet. So all he knows is has known the confines of his ridiculous life where he is very... favored, has all the food and all the luxury and all the pampering. That's all he's ever known in the midst of a people who are by and large starving. Not everyone, but millions of the people, hundreds of thousands of people have been starved to death there. So, and they control the information. There's no electricity. There's hardly any television. So that's where he functions. He's the only big wheel, in a country like that. So I sort of think that because he's been getting out, out of his house, out of his environment, his horizons have expanded. And I find myself wondering if that natural longing for men to be free and to experience life, he's seeing other countries, he's seeing developments. Singapore is just stunning, as you could see in the pictures. He's seeing a whole new world without the filter of the North Korean filters. And I think it's going to be hard to put that back in a box. And I think that comports to our advantage. Mm-hmm. The only question is, of course, will he go back home and stop his brutality to his own people? Will that translate to something for them where they could be free and have some freedoms in that country? I can't answer that. I just long for that. But that's what I think about I think it was an important meeting, and I mm-hmm. think it needed to take place. I can't think of any downside to this yet.
You know, it's interesting. You talked about his exposure. One of the stories that came out yesterday was that he went out on a night on the town in Singapore, and it showed he was taking selfies. How more Western can you get today?
Yeah.
Then you go downtown Singapore and you go to where all the life and where there's capitalism galore, and you're there taking selfies. And he looked like he was really enjoying himself. Plus, China provided him with a Boeing 747 built in Seattle to make the trip down to Singapore. So, you know, it was like his big military guy who came to Washington about a week ago to mm-hmm. kind of set this up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, there he was, this man, an older gentleman in Washington, being exposed to the United States of America for the first time, most powerful city in the world, meeting with Mike Pompeo there and meeting with the president. And I thought to myself, what was going through his head, having lived in North Korea all his life and then being suddenly exposed to all of this? Because behind all of that is the power of the West. And for the first time, I think this North Korean leaders, and Kim Jong-un included, saw, you know, he could be rhetorical sitting in his little bastion there in North Korea and making jokes about Donald Trump. But I think now he's been exposed to just how big America is and how important a man Donald Trump is and the power behind. One of the things they did was President Trump showed Kim Jong-un President Trump's new vehicle, his limousine, his brand new limousine, which has walls about a foot. It's called the Beast. It's about a foot thick. And I thought, just looking at that, Kim Jong-un had to say, wow, this represents the power of the United States.
Yeah, how can I get one of those?
Yeah.
Well, remember when President Trump said to him, something to the effect, yeah, you have some nuclear capability, but nothing compared to what I've got.
Yeah,
and then I will use it. Mm-hmm. And I think that may sound, you know, to our ears, it's strange because we believe in humility and downplaying things as Christians we do. But when you're talking about bullies or would-be tyrants, this is how, I'm not saying verbally, but you have to face them down with reality. No, my guns are bigger. I will use more force. No, I will not back down. You know, you have to be tougher than nails. And I think Trump certainly has mm-hmm. done that. So,
Hey, Ray, you have a question for Sandy?
So, Sandy, how will we know? How do we even judge at this point? Because as Americans, we don't trust Kim Jong-un. This really isn't about Mr. Trump. It's really about the other side. How, in dealing with the most repressive regime in the world. I mean, I think every point you've made is very good. How do we know if this was a success? How do we know we can trust these people? What's the proof of it?
Well, I don't think we can trust them. I don't think that's, I think that they'll feel forced to comply, but it won't be because there's some character issue and they're trustworthy.
Right.
I do think, Ray, that we are in a position now where we have probably the best intelligence we've ever had. Now, this is me speculating based on just some mm-hmm. things. The best intelligence we've probably ever had about what's going on in North Korea, we know exactly what they have and don't have and where it is, I think. We also have human, I'm thinking, that we have human contact now in North Korea that we didn't once have. I think I may have mentioned to you guys, I was the first chairman of the North Korea Freedom Coalition. One of the things that we did was get past the North Korea Freedom Act in Congress. And part of that was to start this program of dropping like little radios behind the demilitarized zone. And since I left a long time ago, because I just got it started, they have developed a programming that it's like Radio Free Europe going into North Korea, and more North Koreans have defected. That there was a time when nobody got out. So I think that we have a better idea of what's going on inside the country, and I think we have better markers, and I know that we have the technology to pretty much know exactly what they're doing and not doing.
Sandy, thanks so much. Appreciate it. What are you going to be talking about tomorrow on your program?
Tomorrow, actually, Matt Barber is going to be hosting for me because I'm going to be in some important meetings on behalf of AFA. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to tell you about those later. But Friday's show is going to be interesting. I recently spent some time with a teacher friend of mine who's been teaching for 40 years, and she had some of the most interesting stories to tell me about what was happening in public school from the perspective of a Christian teacher who's managed to survive. And so I'm going to be talking to her about what's going on in public schools from her perspective and the changes. So that'll be something that people want to listen to, I think.
Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Sandy Rios. Sandy doubles as both the Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. That's our parent ministry here of AFR. So Sandy represents us in our nation's capital at the kinds of meetings she just discussed. Which sometimes she can't tell us what her clandestine meetings are about until they're over, such as Washington, D.C. But Sandy's, just a great Christian lady to have representing our ministry. And so pray for her. She also serves as, host of Sandy Rios in the morning, weekday mornings here at 7:05. 8:00 Central Time on American Family Radio.
And also has a beautiful singing voice. You may have heard some excerpts of her singing. Mm-hmm. We're selling in our store right now. We're selling one of her CDs.
You know, I meant to tell her. I haven't told her this yet. So don't tell her I haven't told her yet. She sounds like Barbara Streisand.
Oh, it's a gorgeous voice.
And that's a compliment. High compliment. You haven't heard it yet, Ray, but...
I have not. But
do we have that? Ad? Can you find that ad?
Yeah,
Brent. Because I want to play that. Sandy's
ad.
Yes, it's Sandy was a professional singer back in the day.
Used to sing the national anthem for some of the Chicago teams.
The Bears, football team.
Yeah,
she sang the national anthem like two or three times. Mm-hmm. Probably right when you were before y'all knew each other. Maybe when you were pastoring back in Chicago.
Right. She would. She was well known in the Chicago area for her beautiful voice. Before I came to the church, she came and did a concert at the church in Oak Park before my time there. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. She's we found well it. Known. This is completely impromptu. What you're about to hear is an advertisement that we've been playing on American Family Radio about Sandy's CD that's available. And tell me, listen to this and tell me she doesn't sound like Barbara Streisand. Go ahead.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness.
I'll be the song for you. I'll be the symphony.
The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For he is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Not incredible.
Wow.
She's got a beautiful voice. Mm. And she does sound a little bit like Barbara Streisand. Yeah.
I mean, so if you want to buy that CD, it's available at afastore.net. Mm-hmm. afastore.net. Just go there. I don't know how much it is. It's not very expensive.
$10.99.
You can't beat that right there, $10.99. Anyway, so Sandy, talk about multi-talented right there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now back to the, we are going to talk for just a minute about the Southern Baptist Convention. You have, it's the largest Protestant denomination in the world.
About 16 million people.
Yeah. Mm. They have their annual convention.
Yes, sir.
And this time it's in Dallas. And now, do they elect a president annually? Fred, you can.
Yeah, it's normally annually. Okay. But I mean, they usually stay on for 2 years. They just correct me if I'm wrong, Ray. Kind of say, yeah, we want you to stay around for another year.
So it's usually a two-year service.
Well, you're elected for 1 year, but almost always they just roll it over into the second year.
Yeah. Okay. And this is the big event today.
Okay, they're going to be the messengers there. That's what the people are called from around the country. So, Ray, how does this work? Does each church send messengers, and how many does each church send?
Okay, I believe that each church that is a cooperating church, basically meaning you're part of the local association and you give money into the cooperative program, I believe each church can send up to 10 messengers is what they're called. And most church, I don't think too many churches actually send 10 people to the convention. A lot of them will send pastor and his wife and maybe another staff member, something like that. But you could send up to 10 from each individual
church.
Do
they get to vote then if they're there?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Huh. Okay.
Is
it proportional, do you know? In other words, if you have a church with 100 members versus a church with 1,000 members, do they both get to send 10 to vote?
I think that's the right answer. The parliamentarian would have to correct me, but I think that's
Walker,
right.
Do you know the answer to that?
I think that's correct, because a local church here, who is a fairly large church, sent one.
Mm. Okay.
So they could have sent more, but they just chose not to.
And thousands of churches don't send anybody. Right. You know, a lot of them are churches of 100 or 200, and maybe they're 1,000 miles away from the convention. So a lot of churches don't send anybody. I think this year there's between maybe 9,000, 10,000 messengers at the convention. Yeah.
And I think that number is higher than usual because of the tensions right now in the Southern Baptist Convention. I mean, the election for a new president is this afternoon.
Okay.
I believe it starts around 1:30 Central Time. And it's the two candidates that have been nominated, J.D. Greer, who's a pastor over in North Carolina, and Dr. Ken Hempel. There's quite an age difference between those two gentlemen. Dr. Ken Hempel is a former president of Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth.
Right.
So and of course, we just had the Paige Patterson controversy, and I think some nerves are still raw on that. Paige Patterson was supposed to speak tomorrow at the convention sermon, but last Friday withdrew from that because of the controversy that's been out there. But many see this as the new generation of leadership within the Southern Baptist Convention and which way the messenger is going to go. J.D. Greer is kind of a rock star in the Southern Baptist Convention right now, very high profile. Dr. Ken Hempel, and Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a general assessment, would represent what might be considered the guard, the old guard that's been in charge of the convention for many years now. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a totally fair assessment. Both men are highly respected, but in terms of publicity, a lot more people know the name J.D. Greer than know Ken Hempel, although he was Paige Patterson's successor at Southwestern Seminary. I was struck at the pastor's conference how many younger pastors were there. There was gray hair there, but not as much as I maybe expected to see. So there is some truth, Fred, to this being a generational moment of transfer of leadership.
As a non, I go to an independent evangelical church, so I'm not a member of a Southern Baptist church. I think you three guys are.
Yep.
So you got me outnumbered 3-1, but I'm going to give you advice anyway.
We'll take it.
Okay, here's advice I have to Southern Baptists. Don't meet every year.
Don't meet every year.
Don't meet every year. Mm-hmm. Meet once every 2 years is plenty. I think you get more participation at the convention, and it would lessen the number of controversial issues that have to be dealt with every year. Mm. Now, the Methodists, which I grew up in, they meet every 4 years. That's too long, I think, to wait between meetings. The United Methodist folks, I mean, I think they meet once every 4 years. But I just think every year is too much. So you guys, would you guys take that back to your messengers and see if can do something about that?
Yeah, we'll put a call into the executive committee.
See if they can do something about
it. Put that resolution on the on the schedule.
It's kind of like Congress, you know. They don't. We hope that they don't meet very often because then they can't mess things up. You know what I'm saying? If they're not there to vote. Amen? All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What else you got, Fred?
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of resolutions. Our own Janet Medford is there at the convention. Bill Bumpus is covering for Radio News Side and One News Now. So we'll keep you up to date. We should know the results of the presidential election this afternoon, and we'll see where it goes from there. We've been talking, obviously, about North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more detail. We didn't get into this. What they got out of the President Trump and Kim Jong-un had a one-on-one meeting with just translators. They came out of that with a statement saying that North Korea has agreed to the total denuclearization of that country. Now, they both said it's going to take quite a while. But one of the other things that's drawn some controversy is that President Trump said, we've agreed to stop our military exercises with South Korea. Now, that has some people a little concerned. And basically coming from those who know the history of North Korea, making deals and then backing away from it. Now, one of those is Senator Lindsey Graham. And Senator Lindsey Graham has let it be known this morning in an interview with NBC is that we want whatever Trump agrees to come back to Congress, and we want to vote on it. Because basically we do not trust North Korea. The other thing is that the gradual removal of the sanctions against North Korea. Now, China is the big player because 90% of the trade that North Korea does is with China. One of the concerns is China resumes trade exercises with North Korea right away. That brings them back to where they were. So is that a de-incentive to move forward with what the United States is saying? So I just wanted to bring us up to date on the details of what's happened there in the last 24 hours. This thing is still, and what we used to say up north, on black ice. In other words, don't think you got a firm footing there to go forward. This thing is a long way from being done.
You know, in constitutionally, that would be great for Congress to approve of a deal, an informal deal that President Trump has made with a foreign leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not send anything to those bozos in Washington because they mess up.
Don't hold back.
Everything they touch, they mess up, and they cannot get anything done. Mm. I'll tell you this. I'll tell Lindsey Graham and the rest of them, if you'll pass all 12 spending bills by September and fund our government like you're supposed to, then we'll let you vote on the North Korea deal. But until you do that, I'm not sending one more thing for y'all to spend 6 months debating on.
Unless it's a treaty, which the Senate had constitutional authority to get involved in, we only have one commander-in-chief, and the American people voted on him. If they don't like it, they can vote him out. Mm-hmm. But he speaks for our country on matters of
foreign policy.
On these kinds of matters. And submitting this kind of thing to Congress in this toxic culture which we live with, the Democrats are all going to be against it. Doesn't matter if it involves North Korea taking down nukes. If Trump's for it, they're going to be against it. So I don't think this is a good idea suggested by Lindsey Graham. We will be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.